1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Well, Star Wars opening officially Thursday, and here in Los Angeles and in, I think, other select cities, it'll be opening as early as midnight tonight, 12:01. And we're going to go out online to a variety of places. Actually, Craig Taylor is out there right now in Hollywood at the Man's Chinese Theater. We just talked to a variety of Star Wars fans, and we wanted to get a few of them out there to talk with us about this online right now. Go ahead, just give the phone to him. Hi, RC, how are you? Okay, I don't know if he can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
And what is your name?
My name is RC Collins, and I go to Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California.
And you're excited about the opening of the new Star Wars Attack of the Clones, huh?
Absolutely. We're very excited, and I'm with a group of cadets from our military academy right now. We're looking forward to the opening of this film. We're very pumped up for it.
What does Star Wars represent to you? Why are you military guys, for instance? Now, you go to a military academy, so you're technically not in the Army, but why are you guys looking forward to this?
Technically, I'm not in the Army, but I will graduate, hopefully, with a commission to the United States Army, and we're very pumped up being in the military academy, because Star Wars, we feel, is it's like a metaphor for America, and its war on terror. Taking on an evil empire, in a lot of ways, is like taking on the Osama bin Laden, and you have choices to make.
What are the choices, as you see from this movie?
Well, you're either with America like Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, is with the Star Wars, or you're against America like Anakin Skywalker.
So Anakin Skywalker is a metaphor for the people that don't stand by their country?
Don't stand by their country, or are terrorists who are looking to bring our country down. We think the parallels are amazing. And those of us in the military see the parallels very clearly. That's why Star Wars is such a big movie for the USA. And those are just some of the...
Those are some of the other cadets that you're with?
Yes, sir.
So what would your message tonight be, then, as a young man in a military academy going to see Star Wars?
Well, I guess our message tonight to the civilian populace is that we're willing to lay it on the line for you. We're willing to go to Afghanistan, and take out bin Laden, and maybe, and I hope that it doesn't happen, but maybe, that's right, we just might die in the process. So I would think, out of respect, I think everybody should go see Star Wars tomorrow night and put your $8 on the line as we put our lives on the line after we graduate. And a nice statement, I guess, would be to go see Star Wars and make a statement that this is really a movie about the fighting men and women, and that Spider-Man is, you know, it's a little gay,
Now, what makes you say Spider-Man is gay?
Yes, sir. I mean, I don't mean to say that, but it's not really representative, I think, of the fighting men and women.
Okay, sir, you're a junior in a military academy, right?
Yes, sir.
So you're not yet in the armed forces, but you still identify?
Well, we do identify with it. We use Star Wars as an incentive. It's because it's about our generation.
I was going to say that.
Well, we're not yet graduated, but after we do, we'll go to Afghanistan and, God willing, I'll come out of a cave with bin Laden's head on the end of my bayonet. And the best way for the American people to make that happen is to support Star Wars. Otherwise, you know, things get a little tough.
Otherwise, things get a little tough?
Right. I mean, we want people to support this movie. Otherwise, it's difficult to go out there and actually fight for the country when people don't support a movie that we support.
So when you say it's difficult to fight for your country, I don't understand. You say it's going to be difficult for you to go to Afghanistan after you graduate if people don't see Star Wars.
Well, I love my country, but I want to know I'm fighting for a country that supports me. If I go to Afghanistan, walk out of a cave holding bin Laden's head out the end of my bayonet, and the one movie that means so much to us nobody's going to see, and they go see something, you know, we feel technically gay, Spider-Man, then I'm afraid that we got to reevaluate the situation.
In what way?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean you have to reevaluate the situation? If people don't go see Star Wars, what do you mean you have to reevaluate the situation?
Well, I mean, we'd have to just say, I'm not going to go out and get bin Laden's head and put my life on the line when people don't go see a movie that I've told them to go see. So tonight, what we're saying, and we're sending the message to all the men and women of America, go see Star Wars. It's a movie about, really, America's war on terror. Show you support the fighting men and women in Afghanistan. Otherwise, we got some problems.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been talking to you for the last 5 minutes, Cadet, and you sound like you're threatening a little bit.
No, sir. I'm not threatening.
Well, it sounds a little bit like you're threatening. If people don't make Star Wars the biggest movie at the box office this weekend, you won't fight for your country. Is that true?
That's technically how I feel and how many of us feel, yeah. But I'm not trying to threaten. I'm just telling people, go do it, because that's what we're telling you to do. I mean, I don't know what
All right, hold the line if you could. Are you're in line right now?
Yes, sir.
Waiting for the midnight show?
Yes, we are.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. RC?
Yes, sir.
It's a little tough for me to believe the armed forces of the United States is not going to fight for its country unless Star Wars is number one at the box office.
Well, I mean, I can't in good conscience say that we're going to go fight for America when it ignores what we want. What we want is them to go see Star Wars and...
Spider-Man is gay, as you put it?
It's a movie about a cop. It's not really a movie about fighting for good and fighting for what's not good. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say.
Well, I want you to explain a little bit.
If you look at our predecessors in the military, had they had Star Wars as an inspirational tool, we wouldn't have lost half the battles that we lost.
Well, what about the American your history's a little off. The American Armed Forces was highly successful.
What about Korea? We didn't win that. What about Vietnam? We didn't win that. We didn't win that.
Well, we won the Gulf War.
And we had Star Wars, sir.
All right, we won World War II.
Okay, World War II is back when America was strong and didn't need to be inspired by a movie, but now we do. And look at me, I'm well-trained, I'm ready to eat my guts, but I still need Star Wars to inspire me to go to war and the American people to support me on account America isn't as strong as it used to be. Like, in World War II, when we fought the Chinese, not the Chinese, but I mean the Japanese, and I know there was another enemy, if you can help me out. I believe it was the Swiss, sir.
We fought the Germans in war. We fought the Germans and the Japanese.
Yes, sir, it's the Germans. The German people speak a sort of pig Latin similar to the Swiss, but these countries are underdeveloped. They speak a sort of gibberish or a pig Latin like the Arabs. But one would think they'd be easy to defeat. I come from a relatively weak generation. We need inspiration that is high-tech and potent.
But you're saying if Star Wars doesn't beat Spider-Man at the box office, you and other cadets will not fight for your country. Isn't that true?
Well, I'm just talking... Yeah, that's basically true, yeah. I mean, I think that...
Why? I mean...
I think the American people might have to be aware that Star Wars is the backbone of a new military in a lot of ways. That's the generation we come from. Not like the World War II generation that wasn't afraid of nothing. I seen a picture of my grandfather from World War II, and you want to guess what he was holding?
Okay, I want to get back...
No, you want to guess what he was holding? I'll tell you what he was holding. A severed Japanese guy's head.
Well, I mean...
That he cut off himself. That generation's hardcore.
All right, they're hardcore, you guys aren't?
We're not as hardcore, no. We need to have the knowledge the American people will go see Star Wars, and then we'll go to Afghanistan.
It's a threat, man.
I'm not threatening, sir. No, sir.
No, it sounds like a threat. You're not going to go fight for your country unless Star Wars beats Spider-Man, which you call a gay movie, at the box office. And not fighting for your country unless Star Wars beats Spider-Man in the box office sounds weak.
Well, you look at some of the bad guys in Star Wars. They're Arab and Al-Qaeda looking. That's why George Lucas is a genius.
Yeah, but you haven't commented on the fact that you're threatening the American people.
Mr. Henry, I want to say this to all the Americans who are listening. I stand ready to defend our country. Don't worry about a thing. When I graduate from Bradley Military Academy, my dad's going to come to the graduation. Then he'll drive me to West Point. Then I'll go to Afghanistan. But if you don't make Star Wars number one at the box office, we can't promise that we'll be willing to fight
for your country.
Yes, sir. But why do I want to fight for a country that's not, doesn't have courage?
Oh, okay. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800...
See, you don't understand what we're saying, though.
Yeah, I understand you. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins is a he's in line where at Mann's to see Star Wars. Unless Star Wars is a film that everybody goes to see because it's a metaphor for his generation, they may not be willing to fight for their country. Now, I have heard a lot of guys have political points of view. I don't think I've ever heard anybody in the military, even though he's in a military academy, express such an extreme point of view that a film is such a symbol for a generation, they can't fight for their country unless it's number one at the box office. But he said it. He said it would be hard for him to walk out of a cave with Bin Laden's head on the end of his bayonet unless he knows the American people go see Star Wars. 1-800-449-8686. Is there anybody else in line that Chris has? Because maybe we'll just stick with this kid for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We are talking to people online for the new Star Wars movie. Is that their length? Is that cut 15? Craig, let me just go ahead and lay a little bit of that on. There you go. Star Wars is tonight. And R.C. Collins, along with other cadets from Bradley Military Academy, are online down at Mann's Chinese. R.C., you said that the Star Wars film is a metaphor for today's military. You want to see the American people go out and watch this movie to prove they support you. Otherwise, you said you're not going to fight for this country. Now, what is it about Star Wars that makes it so pivotal for today's military?
Well, Mr., it's a good question. First of all, George Lucas, in the battle scenes that he has planned out, he's planned out the right way to attack. If you look, and I'm not saying that he knows more than Arnold Schwarzkopf, who is one of our great generals, or the other generals, but he does have interesting attack plans in the movies, and if we can follow his clues in the Star Wars movie, there are clues on how we can beat the Afghanistan.
And if, well, George Lucas doesn't know anything about attacking Afghanistan.
But he does have good military strategy and tactics. You got to trust me on this. I'm in a military academy. There are 400 of us. Some 200 of us are with us tonight here to see this movie. We're simply saying to the American people, we're not threatening, but you should go see Star Wars because of Afghanistan.
We should go see Star Wars
because of the...
Because you said you won't fight for your country unless we do.
We want them to send a signal that they are down with it and that our generation, you know, has got half a nut when it's compared to the World War II guys.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm like a Jedi in training in a lot of ways.
All right, okay. Let me go to a phone call here, Jerry. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll go to a phone call. I know you're standing on a busy street. This is John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. John, go ahead.
Now, undoubtedly, I really believe that. Have they paid you to come on here to say this? Is this something that they paid you to say?
Are you joking, kid?
Have they paid you to say this?
Right. Has anybody paid you to come on here?
No, sir. I'm at Bradley Military Academy, Altadena, California.
You're not going to actually be an officer, are you?
That is my fun dream, yes, sir. I leave here, I go to West Point.
You know, that's something interesting, I think.
I'm a commissioned as a lieutenant in the American Army.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
All right, you're at 16 years of age, and
yes, sir.
You're talking about putting a bayonet in somebody's head?
We're hardcore, sir.
Hardcore?
We're ready to...
You're hardcore?
Yes, sir. We're ready to defend our country down to the... Why? I don't understand.
Well, son, you sound like a young punk, and I shouldn't say... Well,
I'm a punk,
got your nose bleeding,
I don't think a punk. I don't think a punk could drive his bayonet into Bin Laden's skull... And I'll suck it like a lollipop.
What makes you think you could do that? Have you ever fought anybody in your life? Have you ever seen death?
Have I seen death?
Yes.
We're familiar with our training films.
I didn't ask you that, sir. Have you ever seen death?
Have I seen it? Yes, I have.
You know what it looks like
in
man's eyes?
I've seen an automobile accident on the highway.
Oh, really? Now, what, you have ever seen a man's
and
eyes?
And a guy's guts were laying out.
Oh, that makes you impressed. That impresses you.
Well, no, you asked me, did I see death?
Well, you ever seen a man's eyes when you take something and you stab him in what you say that
well,
you can
I,
do?
Have you
ever seen a man's eyes right before he does it?
Are you talking sexual or what?
No, he's
no,
not.
I'm talking about if you've got enough guts.
You were talking about putting something in a guy.
No, he's talking about
you're
stabbing.
Cut his throat off. You're going to cut his head off.
Yes, sir. I've
now, have you ever looked at his head off?
John?
Have I ever looked into a man's eyes before I put it to him?
Yes. When you
he's not
cut his head off.
He's not talking about sex.
You're asking me if I ever looked into a man's eyes before I gave him head?
Before you
cut
his head off.
Well, you said you were going to cut the man's head off with a bayonet and carry it on your bayonet.
Please, sir, feel good about America because I'm going to be on...
Feel good about America?
I'm going to be on the front line.
If you're
going to
back America?
I will come back to America.
We wouldn't have you in...
You wait.
We wouldn't even have you in no forces.
You wait. I'm going to come...
200 of you, we wouldn't have none of you.
Sir, I'm going to come back to America with the hair on the end of my bayonet from Bin Laden.
You can't. Blow your dad, burn nose. You probably have
to go to the American people go to Star Wars. And I,
Star Wars?
You've asked me a lot of questions. Let me ask you one.
All right. Go
are you or are you not going to support the seminal generational film of this generation, Star Wars?
Son, now, I will say that the man, I don't know his name, but the man has a real educational program out.
Who?
That if anybody that was had any sense, would go to his educational program.
Who?
But anybody that the only thing that they think about is Star Wars, son, you...
See, you don't understand about Afghanistan and what is up at stake. We want to
What
go
do you
with
understand about Afghanistan?
Yeah, what do you understand? What do you need a movie for? You just said that the World War II guys were so hardcore, they were cutting off Japanese guys' heads. Why don't you guys just go over and do that?
Because we're weaker. We're a weaker generation, yeah. Today's Generation X is way, way weaker than the World War II guys on account of they cut off Japanese guys' heads.
Son, don't... Oh.
What?
You're a sick individual.
What?
Sick individual. Right. Is there any other question you would like to ask me?
I want to know, are you going to go see Star Wars? Or are you just
I'm not a
talking
years.
About looking into a man's eyes before he gets head?
He didn't
say
that. I'm not a
16-year-old kid. I'm not a 15, 16-year-old kid. If I was still 15 or 16,
right.
Now back in my days of 15 and 16,
yeah,
I still wouldn't go watch the
Okay, Jethro.
Watch that Jethro stuff, okay?
Well, that's fine with me. I am a hillbilly,
right.
And I'm damn proud of it.
All right, John, I'm going to move on, but I think you've made some very good points.
All right, partner, have a good one. I ain't never... You sure you're not paying him to do this?
If anybody on my staff's paying him, it ain't me. I'll pay you that much.
Because ain't nobody can be that stupid. Partner, have a good one. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. What is all of that about?
Look, if you don't go see Star Wars, you might as well go fight for the Al-Qaeda.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Madrid, go ahead.
My comment is that if, in fact, nobody is paying this ignorant fool to say the silly...
You know, I've been nothing but called names
since
I've been on your show. I will tell you that I'm going to go fight for America at the Al-Qaeda.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, young man. I can't even call you sir. If you need such an inspiration to go fight a war for your country, my God, I cringe at the thought that you're going to be holding a bayonet in your hand.
Good point. Hold on, Madrid. I got to take a break, but you're going to be first up when we come back from our break.
You mean I got to talk to her?
Yes, sir. Hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. A couple of kids from a military academy are online to see Star Wars, and they want to know that the whole country supports the movie Star Wars. Otherwise, they just might not fight for their country in Afghanistan. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Because my guys are hoo-ha guys.
All right, I understand that. 1-800-449-8686. RC, you go to a military academy, right? RC?
Yes, sir.
You go to a military academy, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're saying that Star Wars is a pivotal movie for this generation of fighting men. If the American people don't go see it, you don't want to go fight for this country.
No, Mr. Henry, I'll fight for my country even if Spider-Man was to beat Star Wars at the box office. But I tell you what, I mean, Natalie Portman, I would want her to be in bed with me.
You'd want to have sex with Natalie Portman, one of the stars of Star Wars, in order to go fight for your country.
Yes, sir. If I'm going to be looking at Al-Qaeda, and I'm going to be looking at Taliban, and I'm going to be looking at Bin Laden, and I'm going to be looking at dirt hills and deserts and nothing but Al-Qaeda and Arabs with their guts hanging out, I better have a little bit of sex. And that's how today's fighting man feels about it. So you don't want to make Star Wars number one. Spider-Man's gay, then you have to do that. And I want to be... I want to be looked at Natalie's ass.
You want to look at what?
Oh, yes, sir. I want to be looked at her ass.
Dude, you got no respect for women.
Sir, I really... You know what? Call me Padawan Collins. Because that's how we feel about it. Wow!
1-800-449-8686. Now, Madrid, you held on very, very patiently. Go ahead. Madrid?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You hung on very patiently. Go ahead.
And I want to say to the lady, I don't mean any disrespect to her.
No, you just want Natalie Portman to go to bed with you. Go ahead, ma'am.
You know, anything that you say couldn't possibly insult me because I have to consider the source. You're 16 years old going on 2.
Wait one second.
Wait 1 second, young man.
Okay, Jabba.
You're only 16 years old. You know nothing about life.
Madrid, can I interrupt you? Because I want to say something. Insulting this lady isn't going to do any good, okay?
What do you mean?
I heard what you called. You called her Jabba.
What about it?
As in Jabba the Hutt. Insulting her won't help you. Go ahead, Madrid.
Like I said, I hope that your team leader, troop leader, whatever the name of the individual who is in charge of your troop...
My lieutenant.
Is listening to this. And he takes some action because you do not belong anywhere. If anything, you belong in a mental hospital. You at least should get a psychological evaluation.
Why?
You and the 200 that are there with you.
I want to go fight Bin Laden and kill him.
Oh...
All I ask is you going to go see Star Wars?
Oh, stop it, idiot.
Stop it.
Go live in the movie theaters in La La Land.
This is reality. I live in
reality. This is reality. If you need a movie to inspire you to fight for your country, then you don't belong anywhere.
So you don't belong anywhere
fighting for anybody.
You think
because you are one sick puppy.
Well, let me tell you
something. If anything, you're very, very dangerous.
Right. I am psycho.
You are very, very dangerous.
If anything,
we need intelligent young men.
Oh, pussies.
Intelligent young men fighting out there who know how to discern reality from La La Land.
I'm going to put my
And I believe that you will never, ever, ever achieve that level of intelligence.
Ma'am, I'm psycho. I'll go to war for our country. I'm psycho. You gotta understand. I'm crazy. I'm crazy. Bin Laden.
Well, then, if you're crazy, you belong in a mental hospital.
Bin Laden never comes across my path. I'll go psycho on him.
Oh, stop it! If anybody should face you with a bayonet, you'll go poo poo in your pants and you'll cry for mommy.
Oh yeah.
Grow up, young man.
You want to bet?
Grow up.
You want to bet?
Grow up and stop talking.
Look at kid, you got
That's
a long...
talking about.
I'm talking about one of the greatest movies of the Generation X. What do you know about Generation X? You're not. This movie is important to us. And I want to put my lightsaber right in Bin Laden's eye socket.
Your lightsaber,
Bill,
huh?
Yes, sir.
Bill,
okay, kid.
Don't give this fool any more airtime. He's an idiot.
Thank you for your call, ma'am.
I'll still defend you against rape.
Thank you for your call, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. You're psycho, huh?
Yeah, see, in today's army, you got to be psycho. I'm a little bit bent. They send me over to Afghanistan? Bin Laden better grab both cheeks and run.
All right, this is Pruz. Pruz, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Phil, how are you?
Fine.
I'm listening to this man, and he's not even a man yet, but I'm listening to him, and I'm wondering, what would I have thought if I would have learned this 22 years ago when I came to this country?
I'm sorry.
And I not claimed this country my home.
Wait a second. Where are you from?
I'm from Iran.
Oh, great. Great. You're
don't
from
say,
Iran.
Oh, great. Sir,
you're the kind of guy we're going to go over and put the lifesaver on our guy's
okay. Right.
Wait
right,
a minute.
Right.
This man lives
right,
in America,
right,
okay?
Right.
The guy
right,
lives
right.
in America. He's probably
the
heard all
the big, you know
you're,
what?
You're right.
You are an American citizen by birth. I worked my behind off to become an American citizen. I have the right, and I deserve to be called an American citizen.
I don't get it. How can you be a citizen if you come from Iran?
He got to be a citizen.
In a fantasy land, that this lady before me just stated, if you're going to compare the scenes of this movie with the reality of the armed forces, you don't deserve to be wearing a uniform. You will be a disgrace to a uniform.
Talking about the American Army, not the Iranian Guard of the Revolution or whatever they call it.
You can
this
talk
guy
about
is
them
a,
all you want. It doesn't bother me.
He's
I'm
an American,
not, I'm an
he's,
American.
A, he's an American
I'm
citizen.
I'm an American citizen. I'm proud to say American citizen. But you know what? It is people like you with your mentality that create the movies like Taps.
Wait a minute. What did I say that's so wrong?
What do you say that's so wrong?
Yes, sir.
You get on public, on radio, nationwide radio, and make a statement about wanting having sex with a person that is an actress, and she goes ahead and makes the movie to entertain the young, the 3, 4, 5, the 6-year-old, the people that you say they are younger than you, and you're supposed to be an example to them? If you're an example to my son, who is 2 years old, you can go ahead and be an example to your own brother, because I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Wait a minute.
You
every
are
kid
scary.
In America want to have sex with Natalie Portman. What's so weird about
no, no,
that?
No, no,
he's
no.
talking about his 2-year-old son.
You are mental. You are right. You are mental. But
I'm
you know what? I thank God every day
I'm gonna
that
be
President
defending
Bush,
you.
I thank God every day that President Bush is our president and his Christian values are flowing over.
Wait
into
a second,
our
you're
society.
From Iran and you're supposed to be Islam. How come you're talking about that? I'm going to use the force to make Bin Laden come out of the cave, and then I'll do him in the butt with no loop.
Okay, look, kid.
You want to go ahead and send a copy of this tape
absolutely.
To his commanding officer?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, he doesn't even deserve to be the... You know what? It is really scary.
Pruz, hold on for a minute. I want to ask you, RC, who is your commandant?
Mr. Henry,
I demand to know who the commandant of that military academy is.
He's Brigadier General Wireman.
Brigadier General Wireman is the commandant of your academy?
Yes, sir.
And it's Bradley?
Yes, sir.
Get him on the phone right now.
Mr. Henry, please. We've got a 2-week leave.
No, just get him on the phone right now, Chris. I want to talk to this guy.
Mr. Henry, we are simply having fun.
Yeah, but you're making a lot of stupid statements that are bringing discredit upon your institute. Is this Commander, is this General Wireman?
Yes, sir.
Are you aware that one of your cadets is on my radio show right now, sir, talking about wanting to have sex with Bin Laden's skull or whatever it is?
Well, I understand a lot of our cadets are very salty. They've been cooped up for a long time. But I understand he's also speaking to a gentleman of Iranian distraction. And of course...
Oh, my God.
What do you mean, oh, my God?
The comment that he just made, it comes from the top. His mentality comes from the top.
You know, first of all, sir, I would ask you with all due respect, if you want to know how serious these kids take Star Wars, I want you to call me Yoda.
Who are you talking to?
Both of you. You and the Iraqi.
He's Iranian.
Mister, what's your name, sir?
Why do you want to know? My name is Pruz. Why?
Well, I'm Yoda.
You're Yoda.
To you guys,
Mr.
I am.
Mr. Henry. Mr.
Yes,
Henry.
Yes, yes.
Don't talk
I'm
about me like I'm not
you,
here.
Please do not give these people any more forum.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
man is in a fantasy land. Now we wonder where this cadet is getting all his information.
Brigadier General Yoda!
If the head of the academy thinks that he's Yoda, this is incredible.
Unbelievable that this young man is out there on the streets talking about this, representing a military academy.
Brigadier General Yoda has taught us that they're the
What do you mean, Brigadier General Yoda?
It's what I asked the... Oh, so now you're letting the Iraqi laugh at me.
He's Iranian.
I am not a... I resent you calling men Iraqi.
Sir, let me ask you a question. Do you believe the American military is capable of turning the entire country
Afghanistan?
Yes, sir. And we could make that a state.
What is your point?
My point is this. The reason why we can do that is because this movie, Star Wars, has been an inspiration to young people and their predecessors for years.
Well, you are sadly mistaken, sir.
I'm sadly mistaken.
Yes,
do
sir.
You know, my kids call me Yoda.
Okay, how many kids have you graduated from your academy, sir?
In the 75 years of Bradley Military Academy,
How many people that you, since you've been Brigadier General, how many have you graduated from the academy?
I would say we have graduated 50.
50?
Yes, sir.
No wonder. It's only 50. Because
I mean,
we got the mentality.
We only had 20 in the school.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you. And they call you Yoda, huh?
All right, if you must know, I'm a midget.
Okay, get out of here. If you must know, I'm a midget. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, check out our wall of female listeners on our website, philhenryshow.com. There you can view pictures of the only 17 women in the world that actually listen to our show. It's the only show, I think, in the history of radio that can post pictures of a segment of their audience, all the pictures of one segment of their audience. And that's what we do with our wall of female listeners. We only have 17 women listening to the show, and you can see pictures of all of them. If you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, while you're there, get a backstage pass. It entitles you to all the classic, grade-A, history-making comedy that we do on this show. And what do I mean by that? Oh, well, I was doing the voice of R.C. Collins in that bit there, where he was arguing about how Star Wars is number one with the military, and he's going to bring Bin Laden's head out of a cave if people make Star Wars number one. And, by the way, his commanding general is named Yoda. So there you go. And the people that called in, they're folks that think those are real guys. But anyway, get a backstage pass. You can hear our audio archives, 30-day archive, all kinds of things there. We add clips every single day. Just to give an example, let me go back to our homepage. I'll tell you which clips. Well, why don't we go back to yesterday's show? Let's listen to a piece of classic Phil Henry Show comedy. This is Margaret Gray. She's a writer for a nationally syndicated column. And she has just heard, it's the big scoop, she has just heard that the way Star Wars is going to push it over the top here, Attack of the Clones, Anakin Skywalker goes to the dark side because Yoda fondled him. Here it is from yesterday's show.
Bill Henry. Flashback.
Have you seen the movie?
No, ma'am, and neither have you.
All right, well then, what do you know about it?
I don't know anything about it.
I've met the people who saw this film.
Basically what you are saying is that Joe the Blow... off the street told you that hell is nothing but fire and hell. Do you know for a fact?
Someone who is in the entertainment business very high up.
It doesn't matter. It's hearsay. And I have another thing.
Let me ask you a question. Why is it so unusual? Why is it so difficult to believe?
Oh, come on.
Because, number one, you're saying that George Lucas foresaw the future and knew that this stuff was going on with the priest. Even though he made the movie, how long ago did he know that this was going to be in the news now?
Well, I tell you how movies are made. You can recut scenes and insert them anytime you want. My God, you can do it literally weeks before a film is released. Why do I have to argue with someone who's not in the business?
Well, this is one of my listeners. She's asking questions and she's got some good ones.
Exactly.
I just answered your question. He recut the scene to insert this scene to make it relevant.
Well,
why don't you think George Lucas, he's one of the genius filmmakers of our generation, why he couldn't do this?
Because it's ridiculous, and he's going to lose a lot of money on the film
if he,
in fact, did it.
You'll see it. You'll go and see it, and you don't want
to. No, ma'am, I will not.
Yes,
if, in fact,
will.
That's the true thing.
No, you'll go, because
if
George
that
Lucas...
is... No, I will not.
Yes, you will.
Wait a minute. Corey, are you a mother, or are you a young woman?
I am a young woman,
right,
and I am a healthcare professional.
Do you have children?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, you can't ask her whether she'd see it or not. You'll go and see
Why
it.
Why not?
You're
I am...
in the demographic, at least...
Excuse me, I am classic Gen X. Grew up on Star Wars.
I want to tell both of you something. I think the two of you are thinking that this is some kind of a rape. And
yes, that's what you said.
That's how you described it?
Well,
that is exactly how you described it.
You said that Yoda rapes Anakin Skywalker, and so he goes over...
What I meant to say, I said that he took advantage of him emotionally. And that there was a scene where he reaches around...
I don't want to hear any more graphic stuff, okay?
No, you are making up absolutely ridiculous stuff.
No, I am not. You know why you two can't believe it? Because you just can't get your minds around the fact that George Lucas is that brilliant. He is that brilliant.
I will agree with you on the subject that, yes, he is a very smart, intelligent man.
Not just smart.
I will not agree with you on the statement that he's so brilliant he decides to rape him. That is bogus. That is absolutely absurd.
Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader for a reason.
And I agree with you on that,
Even as you're talking to me, you're beginning to believe it because you realize it.
No.
Absolute brilliance.
Okay.
Trump's Spider-Man.
Maybe he needed to one-up him, but you know what?
That's
here's
right.
a question for you. Can you read my mind and tell me, you're going to go see that movie because
yes.
I told you he raped him?
Yes, you know why you're going to go see it? Because you're part of the generation that thinks George Lucas is the next Beatles. You grew up with his movies. You know that everything he does is brilliant. It speaks to
your
generation.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to go see the movie.
And you will go see that film because George Lucas wants you to see that film.
No,
so
I'm not going to see the movie to
robots.
Despite you.
Now, you
that's
know something?
Why I'm not going to see the movie.
If George Lucas made a movie about constipation, you'd fork out $8 to go and watch somebody sit on a toilet.
Me?
Yes.
Ma'am, I'm a nurse.
I
not go see a movie on constipation.
I think that you can't tell people what they would do.
I can tell every George Lucas fan out there and everybody beyond, you'll see this movie because George Lucas made it, and it's brilliant. Brilliant.
Bill Hendry. Flashback.
Side today, and also while you're there, get your backstage pass. You can hear all the audio and our 30-day archive and pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt to show that you're a Phil Hendry Show listener. It doesn't, there's no blaring Phil Hendry Show on it. It just says Ted's of Beverly Hills. And anybody that's hip to that, they know what that means. If they're not, well, who cares? Get your Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt along with your Best of Phil Hendry Show CD. And you're set, Charlie. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
What we'd like to do is get the opinions and the observations of our fighting men and women, our military, about the Olympics that are taking place. And we'll be concluding this weekend in Salt Lake City. R.C. Collins is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. I understand, R.C., that you and your fellow cadets, I guess about 30 of you, went out the other night and did something to honor America. Is that right?
That is correct, Mr. Henry. Myself and 30 other members of the junior cadet class at Bradley Military Academy went into, used our weekend liberty to go into Port Hueneme, California, and show our respect and show our love for our country.
What did you do? And Port Hueneme, for people who don't know, is up the coast. Is there not a construction brigade?
That is correct, sir. There is a naval construction brigade that's located there. Port Hueneme is also south of Point Magoo, which is where a naval air station is located.
So what did you guys do?
We went into two establishments, actually, two separate establishments. It is our belief that in order to show our love for our country, we need to endure some physical pain to show the physical pain that we'll eventually endure in honor of and in service to our country in faraway theaters of war, if need be. We had, at great personal expense, tattoos of the United States Marine Corps insignia across my chest. I spent 3 years bench pressing 120 to 160 pounds, so I do have a pretty well-developed chest. And
so you have the U.S. United States Marine Corps insignia. Are you in the Marines?
Well, I will, you know, eventually I do.
No, but you're in a military academy. Are you in the Marines?
At this particular time, Mr. Henry, in the history of our country, I don't think it's important to establish, you know, whether I'm in the Marines or not. I attend a military academy, so it's pretty much the same thing.
All right, so you guys went and you had tattoos and endured, as you put it, endured the tattoos.
Well, I don't know if you've ever had a tattoo, but it is painful. I also had a tattoo, and I'm pretty proud to say this, and some of my fellow cadets are here. I had a tattoo of Osama bin Laden's head tattooed on my backside. And where his mouth is where my...
Where all the stuff comes out, huh?
Yes, sir, that's correct. And that is a very painful tattoo because of the skin, the thinness of the skin there. It was important for us at this time in the history of our country. And so we went into Port Hueneme and endured significant pain for our country, but it's in service to our country.
So you guys went in and got tattoos of the USMC and Osama bin Laden's head on your rear end.
That is correct.
Now, you said that it was a disappointing day. Why is that?
Well, I think any day is disappointing, sir, when you sacrifice for your country as we did, you endure physical pain as we did, and then you come back to the barracks, you turn on your television set, and you see members of the United States Olympic team shedding tears on the award stand, crying and disgracing themselves. And we felt it, after going through what we had gone through, the least they could do was to show some courage, and it was severely lacking in what we saw.
Well, let me get this straight. You turned on the television. You guys went into Port Hueneme and got tattoos. Then you come back.
Well, we came back feeling pretty good about the fact that we had been able to survive a significant amount of pain, and it's the kind of pain that was just a sort of a taste of the pain that we will be having to endure in service to our country in various theaters of war. Then I turn my TV set on, and I'm seeing members of the United States bobsled team, or I don't know which team it was, sniveling and whining on the award stand, crying while the United States anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, is being played, and these individuals are crying. I can tell you, sir, that I was so angered that I vomited, because I wanted the experience out of my system. It was almost like a purging.
Do the other guys feel this way?
Yes, they do, sir, yes.
So you guys came back, flipped on the TV, and saw Americans crying. Don't you think it was a show of emotion?
Sir, we don't need a show of emotion. We don't need self-indulgent, weak shows of emotion while our fighting men and women are facing off Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and Afghanistan around the world. And I can tell you, we had gone into Port Hueneme. I had the insignia of the United States Marine Corps tattooed across my chest. The very thin skin of my backside was emblazoned with the skull of Osama bin Laden with his eyes gouged out. That's right. Because that is...
That's some of the guys that are with you?
That is correct, sir. Because that's the pain I'm willing to endure for my country. And then I come back to the barracks, flip on the TV, and I see people crying and sniffling through the playing of the anthem. I wanted to puke my living guts up, and I did, sir.
You're interesting, because one of the guys told me before we went on the Air Cadet that you were drinking Yukon Jack.
That is correct, and we'd snap,
marijuana, right?
Small amounts, yes, sir.
While you were getting tattooed.
That is correct. Right. And now we find that the United States Olympic team is crying like they're little tiny babies on the award stand while the most beautiful song in the world that I've ever heard, the Star Spangled Banner, is playing. The fact that I held my tears as the imprint of our nation was embedded into my skin, and I see these so-called ambassador athletes bawling like babies who just got stuck with a safety pin from their diaper, I think they're a disgrace.
Are you're angry? Are the other cadets as angry?
We're all very angry. We're all very angry.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. R.C. Collins, a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy, a group of some 30 cadets went out and got the United States Marine Corps insignia tattooed on their chests and a variety of other tattoos. They endured what they said was pretty formidable pain in getting a tattoo, only to come back to the barracks, turn on the TV, and see American Winter Olympic athletes sniveling and crying.
Just like cowards, Mr. Henry.
Well, hold on for a minute, cadet. I mean, calling them cowards is pretty strong. They were crying because they were overcome with emotion.
Show your country, and show other people around the world that American athletes are made of a little bit tougher timber than to suddenly emotionally break down when you see the flag, when you hear the Star Spangled Banner. I had gone through the living hell of having USMC and then Osama bin Laden's head tattooed on me. I didn't cry. Nobody else cried. We didn't cry. I'm not some little baby and I don't need my mama. But these athletes on the stand, see, we're going to be out there fighting for the freedom of the United States Americans. And how am I going to feel when I'm putting it all on the line, as I did Saturday night, and then I see people crying?
Well, when you say putting it on the line,
we put it all on the line in Port Hueneme, in three separate tattoo parlors, getting the United States Marine Corps insignia. A couple of guys got fairly detailed Harley Davidson tattoos. And then I come back and I see, like, skaters and guys that sweep ice.
You mean the curling?
Yes, sir, the curling. And they're crying because they're so overcome with emotion, they make me want to puke. I think they're showing the weakness that the Al-Qaeda is looking for in our country. And what don't these athletes just draw? Why don't they just draw a diagram to blow us up? Because when you cry on the stand, you make me want to puke.
Guy, I want to ask you something here, R.C. When you cry on the athletes that were crying love their country.
I understand they love their country. I understand that they love their country. That's not what this is about. It's about showing a face of strength, not showing a face of weakness. Did I cry when I got a tattoo?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I can tell you that I didn't, neither did any of the other cadets, and that's what we're trying to say.
All right, you guys went out and got tattoos. You didn't cry.
Getting a tattoo is a... Let me just explain something to you, Mr. Henry. Getting a tattoo as involved as the United States Marine Corps insignia is a very, very painful experience. Having a tattoo on thin or tender skin, such as the skin on the underside of the arm or on the backside, is extremely painful. But I didn't cry one time, neither did none of the other guys. I know some of the guys in sophomore class, didn't that right, Bob? But most of the junior cadets did not cry. I didn't cry one time, and I saw two guys cry last year when they got tattoos.
I got to tell you something, if I could.
Yes, sir?
I've heard about people get. I've got a tattoo.
Did you cry?
I did not cry.
Well, sir, United States Marine Corps could use you, but I didn't cry at all.
All right, so your point being that if you didn't cry getting a tattoo, then why are they crying on the stand?
Why are our athletes crying on the award stand? Yes, sir, and we're all in agreement with that.
All right, well, a group of cadets from Bradley Military Academy are on the line with us. That's R.C. Collins. They went to Port Hueneme over the week and got tattoos, and then they come back and see that the Olympic athletes are crying while the national anthem is being played. He says that that is a show of weakness. Why are they crying when he got a tattoo and he didn't cry once? 1-800-449-8686. Now, he did say that they were drinking Yukon Jack while they were getting the tattoos, so I don't know. Let me just say this to you guys, those of you who don't have tattoos. I have a tattoo. I don't recall it being all that painful, and I didn't cry when I got my tattoo. I don't know. Maybe tattoos now. I got mine like 30 years ago. Maybe now they're a little bit more painful. 1-800-449-8686. I know some of you out there, especially listeners to this show, more than a few of you have tattoos and could probably enlighten us as to how it feels now. Let me just get R.C. back on the line. R.C., your tattoo is how old?
I got my tattoo on Tuesday night. I'm very proud to say that United States Marine Corps on my chest.
Okay, and it hurt?
Yeah, it hurt. It hurt a lot. But I didn't cry. and I gritted my teeth. They've got rubber handles on the chairs that you can hold on to if you want to scream out. They will give you a rubber mouthpiece to bite down on. But I won't disgrace my country and scream and cry.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. 1-800-449-8686 here on The Phil Hendry Show as we talk about getting tattoos in honor of our country and not crying while Olympic athletes do cry on the medal stand. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
We're
talking with members of the military. Actually, we have R.C. Collins, who's a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. He and a group of cadets went and got tattoos Wednesday night and then came home and saw athletes crying on TV after winning the gold on the stand. And you know that they love their country, but you think it's a disgrace for them to cry on the stand.
Again, Mr. Hendry, I just want to reiterate, my guys are hoo-ha guys. And we do not... We don't disgrace our country by crying. I didn't cry one time when I got a tattoo. And also, I think it bears mentioning, the tattoo that I got on my backside of Osama bin Laden's face with the eyes gouged out of the head is on my backside. I haven't sat down in 3 nights. I've had to sleep on my stomach. These are just little inconveniences, but they are indications of the kind of pain and the kind of torment that I'm willing to go through for my country. And I'm not going to cry like I need my mama on the stand while I'm getting no gold medal. And that's how we feel. I can't wait to get out in the theater of war.
All right, well, God bless you guys for your love of your country, but I don't think you should disrespect the athletes because they cry, you know, listening to the anthem.
Well, that's your opinion, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Joe on The Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, my name is Joe. I just want to say, have a comment about
Joe,
this.
I need to ask you to turn your radio down, Ben, if you wouldn't mind.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think it's very stupid of what they're saying. I mean, just because they're in the so-called whatever cadet thing.
I'm in Bradley Military Academy.
Okay, sir. So you know what? I'm in the United States Navy. I have been in for 4 years. And what they are crying about
Semper
is
Fi.
Not of being soft. It is of being proud. You know what it takes to go through being out everybody else in the world to be able to get the gold medal?
Well, I understand.
And I suffer.
I suffer.
I have to be away from my family for months at a time.
All they did was
you're
go down
a stupid little academy. Yes, you may be hopefully one day become some officer, but still, you don't mean nothing. You got to depend on the enlisted like me that have to work for a living. We cry about something.
But
we have something to cry about because we fight.
Well, but see,
you're just standing in the back. You crying about a tattoo? Come on, now. You're the one that made a stupid decision to get something on your butt. I mean, please. How stupid can that be? Why would you want to get somebody like that on your butt?
We're showing our love of our country by showing Bin Laden with the eyes gouged out of the skull. And
if
the
you
US...
want to do something like that, you could put on your chest or your arm, but your butt, come on. What do you expect to look at
you know why?
Some other guy?
Well, why
would you want another guy looking at your butt?
Hey, man.
If you're a cadet, you're in the... You want to have
the Marine
Corps
guy...
tattoo on you?
Well,
you got to be more of a man to want to show a man your ass.
Hey, man, I don't want to show no guy my ass. What I'm saying is, when I take a dump, it looks like he's smoking a cigar.
Okay, man. I mean, we don't need to know the particulars.
That's how much I hate it. Osama bin Laden.
Okay, how old are you, sir?
What's that, sir?
How old are you?
Sir, I'm 16 years old. I'm a junior cadet.
You're 16 years old. You do not know what is going on in this world.
Sir.
You barely left your mama's tit about, what, maybe 2 years ago?
Sir,
I'm a 21-year-old man.
I
know what goes on in this world. I know what has to be done. I am in the military. I know what it is to be on the defense. When this stuff
went
down,
hardcore?
Where I was at. I was on a security watch in Puerto Rico.
Are you hardcore?
I know how this stuff goes down. Well, I had to be there to make sure no one was trying to do a terrorist attack, especially since what happened to the coal. And what happened to our United States of America?
Well,
I do not think just because you are a cadet, 16 years old, never left home, never been away from home, doesn't know what the real world is like. You need to grow up, son. You know what?
Well, I can tell you this much, we're hardcore and we're really the rough and
you're hardcore, huh? You're only 16 years old, you don't know what hardcore's about.
Well, let me just say this, sir. I respect the United States Navy, but we went down and got a tattoo and I didn't cry. How
what
come
is a tattoo? A tattoo is nothing.
Yeah, and they
nothing.
Cried. They cried when they got the gold medal.
You know how pain is whenever you're working,
sir,
and you break an arm,
sir,
you break fingers. A tattoo is nothing,
sir.
When
you know
start
what
breaking limbs, when you start hurting yourself because it's your job, or you're losing sleep time just to make sure the rest of your people are okay, and nobody's gonna attack you while you're on your
do
watch.
Do you rock and roll?
That is a sacrifice.
Do you?
Your sacrifice of a tattoo means nothing to the world. Anybody can go out and get a tattoo. No one is gonna have to crack
well, it's
a
harder.
Tattoo.
It's harder to get a tattoo
just because they want a gold medal. That is a pride.
It's
that
harder
pride.
To get a tattoo
that
than it is to go down a hill on a bobsled.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I want to ask you. What'd you say, RC?
I said it's harder to endure the hell of a tattoo than to go down some hill on a sled. Yeah, sure. You go down a hill on a sled and then you cry about it? I went and got USMC tattooed across my pecs.
Tell me something.
And I'm benching 160 a day.
How much? Tell me something. Have you ever been able to be one of the world's
best
athletes in the world?
Do you know what a
have
code blue is?
Have you ever been able to be one of the world's most best athletes in the world?
I'm hard.
You know
I'm with the Bradley military.
You?
Hey, let me ask you something. Do you know what code blue is? Do you know
code
what
blue.
Code blue, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay, we're code blueing a guy right now, okay? Now check it out. Do you hear that, Mr. Henry?
What is that?
Those are members of our junior cadet class breaking wind. I mean, they're farting on a guy. This dude dishonored our class. He's having to sit in a room full of us while we cut some cheesy farts.
Now this is just getting stupid.
How is that stupid?
Little kids thinking y'all are tough.
We're code blueing a guy.
Code blueing, whatever.
Hey, man.
Y'all are little kids.
How are we little kids?
You need to get your head.
Wait a minute, man.
Put Osama bin Laden's tattoo.
You call that a code blue farting on a guy?
He dishonored our class and he dishonored our unit. Yeah, take that, Bob. He's in pain.
Well, all right. He's in pain, and you were in pain when you got your tattoo. Joe, thanks so much.
Semper Fi, Joe.
Whatever.
Okay.
What does he mean by whatever? See, he don't have no respect for the uniform.
He's in the Navy, man. He's in the Navy. Navy guys don't go Semper Fi, okay?
Well, that's the guys that are the Marines are with.
The Marines and the Navy guys... Hold on for a minute. R.C. Collins with the junior class at Bradley Military Academy. He said he got a tattoo. That's more pain that he endured for his country than any guy crying on the stand during the Olympic gold medal. And they're...
The Phil Henry Show is back.
And we're talking with R.C. Collins. He's a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. R.C., you're talking about you went out and got a tattoo the other night, which I appreciate.
Well, it wasn't just me getting the tattoo, sir. It was the entire junior class at Bradley Military Academy. And a lot of very... I mean, we're psycho. We're ready to rock and roll for our country, sir.
All right, I understand that. But you guys went out and got a tattoo, and you didn't cry.
Tattoos are pretty painful.
Well, look, can I just say I got a tattoo that I got 30 years ago.
Where'd you get it?
Where did I get it? I got it in Santa Barbara.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you cry or did you...
No, I didn't cry. That's what I'm trying to say. I didn't cry when I got my tattoo.
Well, it can't be much of a tattoo. The good tattoos that say United States Marine Corps and Harley Davidson and things like that, they make you cry. But we didn't, and then we come home and turn the TV on, and we see Americans crying while they're playing the national anthem. Why are they feeling guilty about winning? You see, the reason why they cry is they wish Russia would have won, and they feel bad that Russia didn't win. That's the ultimate pussy move. And it's
just watch your language, if you wouldn't mind, son.
Huh?
Just watch your language, okay? The fact is, those people love their country. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, I went through the hell of having a tattoo on me, and I drank Yukon Jack. It hurt.
But why are you crying now?
I'm not crying. I'm just remembering the pain.
All right, let's go to Mary. Mary, you're in the Marines, correct?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Mary. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Semper Fi!
Well, until you know what Semper Fi means and you actually earn the title of Marine.
Well, but
no,
I got
there is no well. You're a cadet. You're a cadet.
I got a tattoo.
You've not been through TBS. You've not been through OCS. You've not even been through basic recruit training.
Ma'am,
you are a cadet.
I've done push-ups and everything.
Push-ups? I do as many as you do. But my point being that so you have USMG tattoos across your chest.
Do you do push-ups?
I'm airborne, so yes, I do push-ups. I have to do airborne statistics.
Do you have you ever code blued a guy?
Do you know what code red is?
Well, code red, code blue is when a guy messes up and you got to make him do stuff that he's supposed to do.
There is, that's called hazing.
Yeah, what is that farting on the guy, man?
No, that's code
called,
blue.
That's called
boys
trying to be men. Trying to be Marines until you've earned the title of Marine. Because you have USMC tattooed across your chest doesn't make you a Marine. You've been through boot camp, or you've been through OCS, or you've been through TBS.
Cut it out, you guys. Ma'am, with all due respect, you're a female, and I do honor the females in our United States service, but when it comes time to rock and roll, they're going to send the boys up front.
I'm glad that you're so narrow-minded that you think that.
Well, I mean,
You have that mentality that you think that. It shows me where you stand.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Will you guys quit with the
service? Before I, you know what, if I had you within 2 feet of me, I'd show you what a Marine was. It's not gender. Just because you have what you have and I have what I have doesn't make you any different. I do the same thing you do. I'm required to. The Marine Corps does not separate.
Well, ma'am, you know gender. As well as I do that when you squat over your husband's chest and...
Okay, that's enough of that. You know, do you understand that?
Why does the show even bother with somebody like this?
Well, ma'am, you know that when...
I'm scared that you might actually become a Marine.
Well...
Look at kid.
Let me ask you this,
yes, ma'am.
Mr. Cadet Wannabe Marine. What branch of service was the first female killed in combat during Enduring Freedom? What branch did she come from?
She was a secretary for the, she was a typist.
No, she wasn't a typist.
No, she was a Marine. She was a female Marine. She was a 2531, 0631. She was a radio operator on a C-130.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Mary. How do you get killed turning on a radio?
She wasn't doing her MOS. If you knew anything about what was going on, you'd know that.
Do you listen to this woman? She's
dead.
Listen to this Marine. She has experience. Okay? What is it with the farting, man, okay?
We're code blue in a guy.
Oh, you saw for a few good men on TV, and you think code blue is...
It was actually code red in the movie if they had watched it.
Oh, I thought it was code blue. It's code
red. It's code
red,
genius.
You guys, it's code red. Okay, we got it now. What?
Are you guys getting your jollies doing that?
We're just code red in the guy. Look, I know what AM and FM is, and anybody can be a radio operator.
It's a little more than that. Doesn't matter whether they won a medal. It doesn't matter whether they've gone into combat.
Do you have
People
a tattoo?
People show their pride differently. People show their pride differently.
Do you have a tattoo?
Yes, I have a tattoo.
You do?
Yes,
you
I
ought
do.
You ought to see the one I got of Bin Laden on my ass. His face lights up when I fart.
Oh, come on.
I attribute it to your maturity level. I really do. I can't even carry on a conversation.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
You can, absolutely.
And I don't mean no disrespect or nothing about this, ma'am. Do you like guys?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So
but
you,
I don't like boys.
I
don't like boys who don't understand, who don't have the mentality or concept.
Well, you
because
don't...
they go and tattoo USMC across their chest, they think they're a Marine. Until you've been through
the 54-hour
crucible, or until you've been through 12, almost 13 weeks of recruit training, or OCS, or TBS, the basic school,
I don't know what
you have no idea.
I don't know what none of that is.
Well, why don't you ask her what
so
it is?
That tells me you're not a Marine.
So you're not
You want to be a Marine, but so you're not a Marine.
All right, but you're not into female speed skaters. I just want to know.
No, I'm not. And it doesn't matter whether I am or I'm not.
Guys,
the
knock
fact
it off.
Of the matter being that I'm a Marine, I have a tattoo, and I cry every time they play I'm Proud to Be an American, because you know what I am.
Could you tell me, is it USMC? Because I got US...
What?
When I got the tattoo, they put USCM.
What an idiot. You got USCM.
United States
Corps... You know what?
Corps...
He didn't get that, Mr. Henry. He didn't get that.
I thought it was United States Corps of Marines.
You're a moron.
Yeah, well...
You got USCM.
I wouldn't let anybody see that that was a Marine. If you don't beat you with an inch of your life,
look, Mary,
make you change it.
Mary, they tear you apart in combat because you'd cry like a little drowsy doll.
Well, you know what?
Hey, why don't you guys go into combat and fight the Al-Qaeda together? Tell those guys to knock it off now!
We're out fighting the war. They're farting on each other.
Thank you for your call, Mary. 1-800...
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Go ahead, guys.
What?
Oops.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let's go to RC. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil, great show as always, but I wanted to take exception with you on a couple of things.
Okay, go ahead.
You don't sound like you like Ozzy Osbourne.
I love the guy. I was just kidding around, okay?
Did you see the paper recently about what he did?
No, I mean, with relation to the show or his tour?
No, sir. What happened was one of the guys of the miners that went down into the ground, one of them went to the Osbourne Ozfest.
So what?
Well, what do you mean, so what?
So one of the miners went to Ozfest.
Yeah, the guy that wasn't there.
What guy that wasn't there?
The miners that went into the ground. There was one that wasn't there.
Of the miners that went down, there was one guy that wasn't there.
Yes, sir. And he went to Ozfest.
Can we get some corroboration on what this kid's talking about?
I swear to God, it was in the L.A. Daily News in the World News section. Because I cut it out. Hey, do you want to hear me imitate Ozzy Osbourne?
Hold on for a minute, kid, okay?
All right.
Can we get some corroboration? One of the miners that should have been there went to Ozfest?
Hey, Sharon, there's a turd on the floor, Sharon.
Great, kid, that's great. I'm trying to find this thing, all right?
Okay.
Oh, here it is. I got it. MTV.com.
Hey, Sharon, there's a effing dog turd on the floor.
Will you shut up and let me read this?
Right.
Ozzy Osbourne, there's supposed to be 10 miners trapped in Q Creek's flooded mine, not 9. The youngest on the crew says Ozzy helped him escape his fate. 22-year-old Pennsylvania coal miner Roger Schaefer skipped work and went to Ozfest on July 24th after his 19-year-old wife Lacey pleaded with him to attend the show with her.
Hey, I want to get a cup of tea. I want to get a cup of...
Shut up, man. I'm reading this.
But don't you think that's a good impression?
Of who?
Of Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, man, it's really great. Lacey had a...
Yeah, get me a cup of tea, because my leg's broken.
Lacey had bought the couple's tickets for the original Ozfest stop at the Post-Gazette Pavilion in Bergstown near Pittsburgh, which was to take place on July 7th, her husband's day off, but the tour date was postponed when Sharon Osbourne's cancer diagnosis became public.
Yeah, see, right there. That's it, right there. They postponed the date to the time when the miner was going to be in the mine. Hey, Phil, listen to me do my impression of you.
Da ha ha ha. After the show, the Schaefers went back to their car, retrieved their cell phone, and started checking their messages on the drive home. Roger said it was kind of weird, at first that they had over a dozen messages from people who kept asking if he were okay. Why wouldn't he be? He wondered. When he got the harrowing news, nine of his co-workers, his crew, were trapped 240 feet below ground. How about that?
On the counter, he went to Ozfest. Hey, listen to this. Hey, sure, one of these, bro. I can't get the effing cat. Okay, listen, Phil. Did you know that Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off of a corpse?
Oh, bull crap. He bit the head off of a bat.
No, I swear to God. He bit it off of a corpse at a funeral.
No, he did not. It was a bat. First it was a dove, then somebody threw a bat on stage, and he bit the head off of a bat.
No, I know about those two times, but there's a third time they don't report.
Where did you hear this bullcrap?
I read it in Fangoria magazine.
Well, get out of here, Fangoria. That's some horror movie magazine.
Some guy wrote in, said he seen it.
Saw it when?
Did you know that Ozzy Osbourne chewed his own hand off one time?
Kid.
I swear.
Yeah, I know. You read it in Fangoria.
Then he peed on himself and said, "Blimey, I wet me pants." It was great.
I cried, said Mr. Schaefer. I didn't even cry at my own wedding, but I was crying.
What are you reading?
The thing you told me about.
Oh, that bullcrap. Hey, listen to this. Hey, Sharon, look at me. I dropped a turd in me pants.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
That is the craziest thing I have ever heard of.
Well, that's the way we do it in the military.
Well, you know, now, I may be wrong here, but the man should resign. Yes, I agree with you there.
Yes, sir.
But he should not kill himself. I mean, if I'm captured, and I'm a soldier, and I'm captured, every minute that I'm alive is a minute that I can be trying to escape.
It's also
captivity.
They'll torture
you. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to abandon my wife and children and my country because
sir,
I'm a coward and want to stick a gun in my mouth and swallow a bullet.
That's not a coward. That takes courage. Otherwise, they'll torture you and get information.
Let them torture you to death. Keep your tongue. Hold your tongue.
There's no way. They'll torture you.
A way to escape. Not shoot yourself.
Put red ants on your genitals. It hurts.
Well, whatever, kid. I don't want to know torture techniques.
I don't either.
You're telling both of us here that you guys train Code 9 in the military to take your own lives.
Absolutely, sir. Now, what I'm saying about Trent Lott is this. He has made a mockery of the Republican Party and our commander-in-chief. I think he would be doing a great service to his country if he swallowed a bullet.
I think he'd do a great service to his country if he resigned.
But he would
let
be...
Let him resign in disgrace.
Sir,
let it be known that he won't be elected to any other public office as long as he's alive, because this will hang over his head forever.
But if he killed himself, that's also the same as resigning, because he wouldn't be able to do the job anymore, too.
And he wouldn't be able to see his wife and kids
and he wouldn't be alive.
He's done.
Well, he already did apologize, so there's only one thing left to do. Take his own life. It would be way better than just look stupid the way he do now.
That man has to do is resign.
He's putting our country in danger.
He's resigned from that Senate. He's not putting anything in danger. He's hiding right now. He's going to keep hiding.
Have you ever been in the military?
No.
Well, that's the whole thing, that you don't know about Code 9.
Oh, come on, kid.
I have a father who was a colonel in the Air Force, and he's never mentioned anything about Code 9 to me. Talked to him just before I called this show, and he has never mentioned anything of Code 9. He's never heard of Code 9.
Did you ask him about it?
Yes. He was a pilot. And
no
problem.
So they didn't go over to the commandant's quarters and salute him and then put cap pistols in their mouths?
No.
Well, that's a new one.
He wouldn't do that. He's not that... heard anything like that before until I heard this show tonight.
Well, here's the thing. You say that the cadets go over to the commandant's quarters. He curtsies and blows a kiss?
Yes, sir. That is a traditional salute. Yes, sir.
He curtsies and blows a kiss.
Yes, sir.
Is he pretending to be a woman at this point?
I don't know why he would do that, sir, when 30 cadets are about ready to shoot themselves.
Bid you a farewell, I guess. That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, he's just sort of like, you know, nice trip, boys.
Yeah.
Sir, that is the ultimate send-off by a commanding officer, and if you're, you say your brother was in the United States Air Force, ask him about the curtsy. It is one of the ultimate send-offs by any command. Call your dad up and say, Dad, did anybody curtsy and blow up?
Will you get out of here with that?
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much.
I think you're getting a little off the subject.
Well, but the point being...
As far as I'm concerned, the man should resign. Yeah, he disgraced his country. But everybody's going to disgrace themselves in one way or another in their life. I don't think that everybody should eat a bullet because of
it. Did your brother ever pretend to be dead after shooting himself with a cap pistol?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
one 800 449 8666. The world famous Bill Henry Show. Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking about the war in Iraq, we have a young man, a soldier. He's a cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, and he wanted to just give us a frontline view because I've wanted to. The one guy we haven't heard from in all of this is the guy who is fighting there in Iraq right now. You're a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, sir?
Yes, sir, that's correct. I'm a junior cadet at Bradley in Altadena.
And what is your name?
My name's R.C. Collins.
And, R.C., this is, you're a junior cadet. You wanted to talk about how the military is feeling right now?
Yes, sir. I wanted to just speak on behalf of the almost 500,000 men and women in the ITO that we're okay, we're a little bit tired. The heat's increasing, but it's nothing we haven't trained for, and we all know that we've got a mission to complete, and we're on that mission, and we will complete it.
Okay, now, when you say ITO, by the way, so we can get...
Well, yes, sir. That is the Iraqi Theater of Operations.
All right. And you are in Iraq right now?
No, sir. We are not currently. We are still here at the academy. We're engaged in combat review right now.
What is that?
It's doing support from the academy. We monitor all CNN or Fox or MSNBC. And we get an overview. Sometimes... You know, we get a little tired. I just want to stop and have a glass of water, something as simple as that. But we're on it.
All right, but you're not in Iraq. You're in the United States. Does it matter in the military world? Because I do not have any military experience. Does it matter in the military world if you were in a war zone or not?
No, sir, it doesn't. We're a team. In the military, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, and the military academies, whenever one has success... We've all been there, and we have had a hand in the operations. And right now, I'm monitoring us in the Saddam Airport, and I can tell you that it was a heck of a fight.
So you were not at the airport, but as a part of the team, you do have that experience.
That's correct, and I'm very proud of myself and everybody else that I served with, and we got the job done.
But if you're 10,000 miles away,
well, let me explain how we do things in the military, Mr. Henry. An Army is a team. It thinks and acts as a team. We're all in this together. I can tell you during the first hours of the war, I was scared as we drove into Iraq. But after the first firefights, I got into my rhythm and we all did the job.
But where were you?
I was here at the academy. But
okay, so that's something a lot of people will need to understand. You weren't in Iraq, but it's considered that you guys were in combat anyway.
Yes, sir, that's right. So let's see if I can explain what I'm saying. It's like you are on the same team that attacked the airport. And so, as such, I do have the distinction of having had combat experience.
What is combat experience like? Again, I've never been in the military.
Have you ever had a near-death experience?
I have had one of those.
Well, I can tell you, it's like getting close to death. It makes life taste a little bit sweeter. You don't know what you got until you're in combat, and I can give you an example. Myself and Cadet Meeker, we were monitoring the Fox News channel, and we were watching the battle for Saddam Airport, and the target had big importance, and I was afraid the whole time, and I just told myself, there's nothing wrong with being afraid, it's just working through it. And when we secured the airport, I guess I just turned the TV off and I went to bed. But it was tough the first 48 hours.
So watching television, and if I'm slow, but watching TV, you're watching the war on television. That's the same as being in actual combat?
Okay, I see I got my work cut out for me.
And forgive me if I'm not understanding.
Well, look, I'll walk you through it.
Because if I'm not understanding...
Well, I'll walk you through it. In the military, we work as a team, all five branches of the military, the Air Force, Marines, Navy, Army, and military academies, under the Commander-in-Chief, what is the President. When we go into combat, we're a team. We live as a team. We fight as a team. And God forbid, we'll die as a team. And when we went into combat in Iraq, especially the airdrops in northern Iraq, that was a big moment for me. And you aren't... So you don't get that?
So even though you weren't in Iraq, you might as well have been there.
Exactly. We were there because the team's there. And someday you, Mr. Andrew, you might have the experience of dropping into a hot LZ. But,
All right. We're talking with R.C. Collins. He is a military academy cadet. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You called the show, R.C., to give people a little front line.
Well, just to give people an idea of our morale. It's very, very good. We feel we're fighting for a very good thing, to topple Saddam Hussein. And I just want the American people to know that we're all right.
All right, but you're not in Iraq. You're at the military academy. But you're saying that you don't have to be in the theater.
No, not if you're a member of the. You're all together in that. And I did want to say one thing, if I could.
Yes, sir.
As a soldier, I do have the right to comment on the battle plan, and I think this one, I think we're going to fill a lot of body bags. It's what we call FUBAR.
Is that fouled up beyond all recognition?
Well, it's a little bit stronger than that, but I just think these guys... The guys who are in the flat hats of command, they ought to come down where the fighting is because their operational plan's definitely FUBAR.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. We're covering a lot of ground here with Military Academy Cadet R.C. Collins, who says that even though he's not in...
Well, I think you're hitting that a little.
Am I paying too much attention to that?
Yes, sir, you are. Anybody in the military knows that no matter who goes into combat, even the guys back home in the States, they're in combat too.
Is that reflected in the ribbons that you get?
I think so. I think, for instance, what I would like having on my gravestone, one of the things that we get is we get to be buried in a military cemetery. So I would like to have on my headstone, for instance, veteran of Iraq War. The veterans of foreign wars, as you know, Mr. Henry, only allow veterans of combat into their organization, and that would qualify me.
And that is the VFW?
Yes, sir, that is the VFW, which is slightly different from the American Legion. But I would like to have, you know, just simple things like that. And if I survive this, I...
Okay, see, that's the thing, R.C., when we talk about the war, it's not like you're not going to survive, because you're sitting here in America.
Yeah, but, see, that's the tricky part, because you're denigrating my combat experience.
Well, I don't want to denigrate any combat experience or perceived combat experience that you have, but you're not really in combat. You just feel that you are a combat veteran because you're part of an army that is in combat. But how are you going to, what do you mean survive this?
If I die during the Iraq War.
How are you going to die? You're not there.
No. I could die in an automobile accident. I could die in any kind of an accident. Just one of our cadets 6 months ago was killed in a threshing machine back home where he's from. And that, if a war had been on...
So he would have died in combat?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I think it... Do you think, and I would give you this opinion, do you think it denigrates the combat veterans, for instance, if a guy died from drunk driving while he's in uniform and while there's a war on?
He would be a combat death.
But isn't that insulting to the guys who are really over there?
Sir, I think any man that dies in the line...
Yeah, but a guy that dies from drunk driving, how's he dying in the line?
If he's in uniform and dies while a war is on, he has died in the line of duty.
So one guy gets killed from a hand grenade charging Saddam International Airport. Another guy in uniform dies driving drunk down Pacific Coast Highway. Both of those guys are equal in the eyes of the military.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. You know, I don't think it's for a civilian like you to start to, you know, apprise the situation. Leave that to the military.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. And I'm the first guy to admit that I don't have any combat experience, and I don't know the code of conduct or the protocol in the military. But this young man is a member of a military academy, one of the five branches of the... Now, I want to have that double-checked, so there's...
There's actually six. I'm sorry, Mr. Hager. There's the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and Military Academy. So there's six branches of the military.
All right, you're in the...
I'm in a military academy.
All right, and he is saying that the Army, and of course it is a very, it's a very familial and fraternal sense that when a part of the team is in combat, the whole team is in combat, even though it's a tough one for me to get as a civilian, and maybe some of you, because he's back at a military academy watching it on TV, and the other guys are over there fighting it. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're back. 1-800-449-8686. We're speaking with Cadet R.C. Collins of the Bradley Military Academy in Altadena. He has come on to express just the feelings of the frontline soldiers in Iraq. You are in the United States, but you consider yourself a combat veteran?
Well, I think what you need to stop doing, Mr. Henry, is saying I consider myself like I am a combat veteran because I am a part of the larger military structure of the United States. And if I could, I'd like to just mention one thing.
Well, we do have some phone calls that we want to get to. And I have some questions.
Well, I understand that, sir, but I wanted to mention, and it's a little tough to get to, but you and I have been talking here for the last 20 minutes or so, and I don't mean any disrespect, sir, but you have not said thank you to me or acknowledged the service.
Well, I would tell you, I do not in any way, shape, or form want to denigrate the service of our men and women, and if I am being... No, I do thank... you for serving our country, and I thank all the men and women of our armed forces.
Well, it's something that's expected, and you are welcome, and I guess we can move on.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jeff on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good evening. I'd like to first of all give a big thumbs up and a thank you to all our fellow soldiers over there in Iraq.
Absolutely.
I'd just like to explain something that maybe isn't clear to this gentleman. There's a protocol in the U.S. military, especially in the Army, and I served in the Ranger Detachment for the 8th Infantry Division for 4 years in Germany.
Was you in combat?
No, I was not in combat, but let me tell you, there were folks in my unit who had been, and the protocol is when you go to combat, that unit patch that you wear on your left shoulder, you are now authorized by the U.S. Army to wear that patch on your right shoulder. If your unit has not been deployed into a theater of combat, You are not authorized to wear that patch on that right shoulder, and you are not indeed a combat veteran.
What about
and
that?
It does degrade those folks who have served and put their life on the line. What? I'm not saying that the service of the soldiers in the United States is any less meaningful, but you're not a combat veteran unless you've been to combat.
What about that, RC?
Well, the gentleman's mistaken in one area. Yes, he's right. The combat patch means you were really in the combat. I mean, where most of the bullets were being shot. But where I am is still combat, but I'm in a review area.
No, the United States is not a combat theater, and I would...
You said ITO. You said ITO, RC.
That's the Iraqi Theater of Operation, yeah.
Okay, is the United States...
Where our military academy is, yes. Every base, every naval base, every army base, every military academy is part of the ITO. That's what my understanding is.
As a former veteran of the military and not just a military school, I would beg to differ with you 100%. If you are not in the ITO, you are not a combat veteran of this engagement. Not at all.
See, RC,
I don't want to degrade your commitment to this country or your patriotism. Don't take me wrong.
RC, you're not in the military.
Excuse me. I'm in a military academy, and I would like you to have some respect for that.
No, I understand that, but I also know a number of people that I went to school with who, until you actually sign on that dotted line, graduate, and get your commission, you are not technically in the U.S. military.
Well,
you are about to enter the U.S. military.
It's a gray area.
You aren't in the military.
Sir, it's a gray area.
No, it's not a gray area, and you'd be perfectly honest with you, I take issue with what you're saying because it's disrespectful to me and every other person
who's ever actually
served in the military.
Well, I'd like to say also, sir, you know, I don't mean to disrespect, but you're welcome. You're welcome.
For what?
I believe I started this conversation with a thank you and a thumbs up. Evidently, you weren't listening to that part of the conversation.
I meant to me specifically. I mean, that's a general thank you.
Well, thank you to all the troops. Thank you to you.
Well, if you give me a roster of every person in the U.S. military, I'd be glad to thank each and every one of them individually. This is an issue more about you.
One of the things is
you have this in your head is an issue about you rather than about the issue at hand, which is our men and women over there putting their lives on the line every day.
Right.
And you want to puff your shoulders out and say, yeah, I'm one of them. And reality says you're not. I spent 4 years in the Rangers.
Sir,
I'm not there,
I will give you this. I may not be at the top of my game right now. We just took a major military objective. I'm exhausted. We were watching it all night.
exhausted from pushing them pencils around, buddy. Get real. Get real.
Well, I haven't been disrespectful.
Insulting every man and woman who's over there putting their lives on the line, our POWs and our folks MIA.
That's true.
It's an insult to those folks.
Well, sir, I'm not trying to insult them.
You've done it whether you're trying to or not.
All right, listen, Jeff.
I take exception to that, sir. That as a fellow
you can
military,
take exception all you want. Check
right.
it on your test on Monday.
All right, thank you, sir. 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins, a military academy cadet. Who feels that,
Sir, again, Mr. Henry, please, I don't feel, I know. I know.
All right, well, you say that no matter what branch of the military, you're a combat veteran, because as a team, you're all in this combat together. Here's Michael on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, how you doing, gentlemen?
Yes, sir, fine.
Very good. I got the comments for you, cadet, and I'll be the first to tell you that I thank you for your determination and your aspirations to serve this country.
Thank you.
But I think that you have a lot of self-searching to do between your ears if you have any ideas that you have any combat experience. I'm glad that maybe you're instilled with the idea to get in the frame of mind and the emotion that, you know, you need to be in tune with what's going on and to feel a part of it. But if you think you have any ideas at all what it's like to be in combat by watching television, I'm sorry. You're not only not officer material, but if they continue to keep you in that academy with that kind of attitude, I pity the troops that might have to serve under you someday.
Sir, if you could repeat that, because I got lost. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff you're trying to say there. You know what I'm saying?
Because you're trying to pull a whole lot of stuff from a lot of other people that you have no idea what you're talking about.
Sir, all I'm trying to say is we took Saddam International Airport yesterday, and I'm a little tired.
You're tired because our troops took care of an airport somewhere else, and you watched them on TV. Listen, sir, lots of us... are scared when we see these things happening. Lots of us are relieved and excited whenever we see positive results, but that doesn't mean that we're gaining combat experience either. I was a cadet. I know what it's like, and as a cadet,
right.
you do not even deserve from a PFC at this point yet, so don't even come across and say that you are part of this team.
But we're we're one of the six branches of the military.
You're training to be in a branch, and that's the bottom line.
Well,
sir.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong.
Yeah, and I think if you seriously feel where you're at, you better reconsider whether or not you're officer material cadet.
Okay, you're welcome, Michael. Well, I'm putting my rear end on the line. You're there playing mumbly peg with your buddies and a deer rifle.
Sir, you didn't ask what my military experience was.
Some gay blade.
All right. All right, sir. What are you calling this man names?
No, but there's some gay blade behind him.
All right, listen. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
Lou, Jesus.
All right. We're talking with R.C. Collins. What do you mean it's a gray area?
It's still a matter of interpretation of military. See, there's a thing called military law, and in the military, they have lawyers that know about it. It's a gray area. If you are in the military and they're having a war, you can be technically a combat veteran and go into the BFW and have shots and beers, just like everybody else.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins, Military Academy cadet, who believes he is a combat veteran, even though he's just watching the war on Fox from his dorm room. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The frontline soldier in Iraq and the Middle East, what does he or she feel? We have on the line a young man as a cadet at a military academy in Altadena who seems to think, and I don't mean to disrespect you, but I have to couch it in these terms, seems to think he knows what...
Talk much?
Seems to think he knows, and I would appreciate respect from you as I give it to you.
I'm sorry, sir.
Seems to think he knows what it's like to be in combat. And I say that...
Well, you're disrespecting me by making that statement.
Well, I'm not trying to disrespect you, but to say you are in the... Because you're in a military academy, you're part of the big team that's over there, and you might as well have combat experience, I think is wrong. And I think it oversimplifies the commitment of our men and women.
Look, Mr. Henry, Father has tied a yellow ribbon on the main gate of our home. We live in the Los Gatos area of Northern California, behind gates, which I only bring that up to say this. It's funny how people will look down their noses on a young man who may have come from privilege, as I admittedly did. But I'm in there like every other grunt and dog face, ready to do. And I think that, like I said, it's not me you should be asking these questions of. You ought to be talking to all the flat hats at Operational Command, because this thing's FUBAR. And in my opinion, they're going to fill a lot of body bags before it's over with.
And I think that's demoralizing to people for you to say that.
Well, sir, until they've had the experience that I've had, I think, you know, it's a gray area.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm sorry. I had a good... thing I was going to start in on, but you just said something that just threw me off the wall. You just said that they're going to, from your experience, you have experience. Let me tell you a little bit about my
experience. That's a gray area.
Okay? There is no gray. It's black or white. You're talking to a golf veteran from the first one. When I came back from golf one, I wasn't looking for thank yous. I was there because I was in the military. I was at Fort Bragg. paratrooper. I did my job because my arm, my government, and my country said that's where you got to go.
I'm sorry,
and that's where I went. Hold on a second.
I misunderstood you.
You haven't got to that point yet.
Did you say
you
were a golf veteran?
You haven't got there yet.
Sir, I just misunderstood. You said you're a golf veteran.
I'm a golf one veteran, yes.
No, as in the game or...
No, golf.
Golf.
I'm sorry.
Pershing Golf. I was there with Desert Storm and Desert Shield.
PGA. You don't play golf.
Look, you know what he's saying.
I'm really wondering how old you are and if you really are a cadet, because you're not even acting or speaking to the intelligent level that cadets that I've seen in the military act.
Sir, I attend Bradley Military Academy, Altadena, California. I can certainly have our headmaster speak to you if you'd like, Commandant Wireman.
But I don't need that, because you can have put anybody on the phone, but you are not even speaking to the intelligence of a cadet. If you are a cadet, I would think you're a freshman. Because let me tell you this, being a combat veteran, which I can say I am, when you get put into the combat zone or theater, as you would like to say, you don't really know what a person is going to do or how a person is going to act until the stress that person's put under. You have not even seen the stress that you can be put under in a combat situation. Therefore, you cannot say you're a combat veteran until you are put into the theater, and the theater means in the location it's happening, not sitting at home watching it on TV. I hate to tell you this, but are not a combat veteran. And when you figure that out, you will figure out that you are trying to run on the coattails of everybody else that is over there.
Why do you say, RC, that you're in the theater? Because you're at a military academy?
Technically, the military bases and academies are part of the ITO.
No, technically they are not. Technically, they might be running training exercises to train you to be a soldier, and using the real-world life experiences to put you in that theater so you can learn better.
Let me ask
you something. Are not in the theater. The theater is right now like Korea.
Let me
ask you
something.
If you were stationed in Korea, you would be under the Korea theater.
The Korea theater.
You are not in Iraq.
I need to ask you something then. How come we saw, we watched, and we felt every movement of the guys going into the Saddam International Airport, and at the end, I was tired, I was sweating, I was dirty.
You saw it, and you watched it. You did not feel it.
Why was I tired?
You did not. Okay, you were tired. Were you physically tired because you had bullets flying past your head? Were you physically tired because you were running through a desert, through sand, carrying 45 pounds of rucksack on your back? Carrying a 15-pound weapon, or, I'm sorry,
sir, that's
if you're carrying the 60, carrying the ammo that goes along with it, plus the spare barrel, being able to remember not only to fire that weapon, but to change barrels after a 1,000-cycle round so you don't cook the barrel off.
Yes, that's why I was tired, yes.
No, you weren't.
Full of it.
You weren't. No, you weren't. You weren't carrying up.
Look, I haven't had a home-cooked meal in 2.5 weeks. Okay,
I'm sorry, you didn't have a home-cooked meal. What kind of meals have you had?
We're eating this slop they're serving in the cafeteria.
Oh, my goodness. You're eating the slop in the cafeteria. Son, I didn't see a cafeteria as soon as the ground war started. I saw an MRE.
Okay, that's good, too. They have brownies in them and everything.
Oh, really? That's real good. They do now, but not in 91. Sorry to tell you this, in 91 we still had the dehydrated beef patty.
Yeah, that sucks. I've had that.
All right, listen. I think that what you're saying, kid, you're living in a fantasy world.
Look, Mr. Henry, you're disrespect of me.
No, you're disrespect of every veteran is what I'm concerned with. Talking about how you're sitting there, why were you tired? You were tired because it was 3 a.m. and you hadn't gotten any sleep. You needed to get back to bed.
He's looking for a pat on the back, and the only person that's going to get it is his roommate. You're not going to get a pat on the back. Nobody really, every soldier over there doesn't want a pat on the back because they're there because they were called to do it. They volunteered to be there, and that's what they're trained to do.
You're welcome.
They're not asking for a pat on the back. And for you to ask for someone to say thank you, you're wrong.
Actually, thank you, Michael.
Both of you guys are welcome.
Yeah, okay, man.
You shouldn't even say that.
Yeah,
you have not the right to say that.
Exactly. Thank you very much, sir. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to real veterans here who have seen combat.
We call it having your ass in the grass, Mr. Henry, if you're struggling for the term. Okay?
Well, you don't know what it is, man, because you haven't had your ass in the grass. You're in a military academy. You are...
You know something? Cry me a river, all right? I am at the Academy of the Military, which is part of one of the 8 branches of the service of the United States. And your disrespect for everyone who serves in uniform in the military academies of the America is wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Well, I think you're wrong.
1-800-449-8686. Angela, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Angela?
Yeah.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. Well, it's like I was telling you before, Mr. Henry. My husband is overseas right now. He's at the 151 Air Refueling Wing. And I take issue with Mr. RC. In my opinion, if he, at a military academy, is considered to be an actual combatant, then anybody that's in high school in a ROTC club or class should be considered also.
No, because they're not part of the military.
Mr. RC, may I say one thing, and then I'm going to finish my conversation, okay? When we receive our paychecks, when my husband receives his paychecks, they come directly to our house.
Are you in the military?
This lady's husband's in the military.
My husband receives an additional check for hostile fire. Mr. RC, I doubt seriously that you are given that type of payment as well. Therefore, you are not considered...
pay, but there's a lot of different ways. We get our payment is desserts, extra desserts and things like that because we're in high school.
And that's all good. Well, my final comment, I'd like...
In class.
My final comment...
Extra dessert.
Yes, sir.
My final comment, Mr. Henry, is this. I was once given a very good piece of advice from a friend that said, do not argue with an idiot. Your audience will not know the difference. Yeah. And that's all I have to say.
Well, I guess that's an insult.
Oh, boy. Chop, chop.
Thank you. 1-800-449...
Look, we get a day pass into town on Saturday. We get 4 movie passes a month. 4. We get discounts at Tommy Burgers. A lot of stuff. Those are the kinds of hazardous pay that we get. If you're an adult, you legally have to be paid. No kid gets paid. No kids ever get paid. You get discounts, desserts, and a variety of coupons.
For hazardous duty pay.
Yes, sir. For instance, I got one here, Bobby. This frozen yogurt cup, 30 cents off.
All right.
Knut Meeker and I, by the way, want to say to everybody listening, and I know I've been taking a lot of flack from callers who don't know their ass from their elbows. Let me tell you what. Hang on, America. We'll put this baby to rest soon. The bad man is going to take a dirt nap courtesy of the United States Military Bradley Academy branch. So don't worry about a thing. Because we are all over it like stink on crap.
Oh, man.
Well, you can laugh, sir, but...
No, kid, you just, in my opinion, you don't get it. Here is Matt on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, Matt, go right ahead.
Hey, RC.
Yes,
you
sir.
We do a thing called urinalysis in the military, and you need to take one. You know what? I've been in the military for 19 years.
I don't use drugs, sir.
And I still serve.
I don't use drugs.
And I'll tell you what. I'm here, just like the rest of my buddies are in uniform, to fight for those that can't and those that won't. And we don't run around saying that we are something that we're not, which is obviously what you are.
I'm not doing that.
And somebody in uniform dying because they're a drunk driver is not the same as a guy getting killed in combat because he charged Baghdad Airport with a grenade. Because if he was in uniform and he was drunk, he's a criminal if he was, in fact, legally drunk.
Right.
Not even the same. So, you know what? You're doing a disservice to everybody that wears the uniform legitimately, and I really think you're full of it, buddy.
You know something? I'm in uniform at the Bradley Military Academy. What about these guys that aren't doing anything?
I'm doing
you know
something
what?
For my country.
What is the Bradley Military Academy?
It's
I haven't even heard of it. Is it West Point? Are you contracted with the military?
Well, it's
or is this just some shake and bake school that somebody started in California?
What's that supposed to mean?
I've never even heard of it.
It's a military academy with uniforms and everything.
Doesn't matter. The police wear uniforms too, but it doesn't make them combat veterans.
Hey, most cops got more combat experience than half of you guys in your flat hats and your one button fly.
So are you,
oh,
wait,
Jesus.
Now you're saying, but now you're saying we're one of you guys? Are you in
yeah.
the military or are you not?
I'm all over this like flies on rice. And the people that say we're not are people who are jealous of
there's no jealousy. There's fact.
Yeah.
There's fact.
Right.
You are not in a combatant. You are not in a combat zone. You are not a combat veteran.
Don't you agree this operation's FUBAR?
No. No. And you know what? I don't know what makes you think that you're an expert, that you can even comment on it when you're sitting in California in some school eating in a mess hall. I don't understand what your you know.
I'm just saying that one brigade isn't going to hold the airport.
What's your
experience?
How much experience do you have to sit here and make any kind of commentary about a current military operation?
Look, tell me I'm wrong. The one brigade isn't going to hold the airport.
You are wrong. I'm telling you, you are wrong.
Look, those guys.
I've been listening to this show for an hour, and you're wrong.
They've had their ass in the grass for 2 weeks worth of wake ups. I just think the flat hats at command need to get down in the dirt where the grunts are.
Okay.
They don't need to. They've been there. That's why they're where they're at.
They're smoking cigars and drinking bourbon.
This whole operation has been a success, an overall success.
Well, that was adult.
And are you burping? Why? Because you can't face the facts?
That's what I do when I can't face the facts. I burp.
Apparently.
All right, look.
Because
Matt,
that was about the most intelligent thing that's come out of your mouth the whole time on here.
I've been on here all hour long saying smart stuff, and you pick out the one stupid
according
thing
According to
I
who?
Did.
You?
Yeah.
According to you?
You pick out the one dumb thing I said, you get a whole phone call.
Now, it was just which one did I want to pick.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't know, because I don't have much more time for this.
All right, thank you, Matt.
What,
I appreciate it.
I can't listen to this guy anymore. He is just, like, out of control.
Well, at
he
least
does not
I'm,
have a clue.
At least I'm still in uniform, and I didn't go AWAC.
Hey, you know what?
AWAC?
Anybody can go down to the Army and Navy store and put a uniform on and sew some patches on. It doesn't give them experience.
Do they have
sounds, you know, what you see on CNN and what you read in the paper, hey, you know, if that's the wealth of your experience, you know, you got a lot to learn, pal.
Can you get those combat patches
there?
All right,
and
listen,
I can tell you, I've been
Matt,
here for 19 years, and I have not been in a combat
right.
zone. I have trained, and I'm ready to go, but I have not been in a combat zone.
You suck.
And I don't consider myself
right.
a combat veteran.
Matt, thank you. You made some very...
But I'm on the team, and I'm willing to go.
All right, thank you, Matt. You made some good points, and I would say to you, RC, that while you think you're serving your country, you're disrespecting men and women who are really in combat and are not sitting around a television set eating ice cream, farting, and then going to bed.
It's FUBAR. So's your show.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Just a creative note, that was me doing the voice of R.C. Collins in the preceding bit. Now, don't miss our website, philhenryshow.com, because it's gotten even better. Now we have more things available in our souvenir shop. You have got to see the brand spanking new Citizens Auxiliary Police Travel Mug and the black and white coffee latte mug with the Phil Henry mug. So get your mug with my mug on it. So there's two new items in our souvenir shop. The Citizens Auxiliary Police Travel Mug. This thing's gorgeous, too. Did you see that? Is that stainless steel? And then we have the black and white coffee latte mug. Get my with my mug on it, I guess is the sell thing there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. That's the Phil Henry website, Plugaroo. Now, we also want to mention to you that Eddie Vedder opened his big fat trap. Hey, Eddie, here's the thing. See, Vedder, he's the lead singer of Pearl Jam, which is a band that was, you know, pretty good and not so good anymore. But anyway, No, they're all right. And Eddie gets up and he does all the stuff that rock stars do. And that's fine. See, I think he's got more of a right to say stuff than Barbara Streisand because that's his, that is part of the performance. That's part of the performance. That's part of, it's like when Springsteen used to tell all those stories about Vietnam and bullcrap and stuff that he never really did. So Eddie Vedder gets up and he expresses his viewpoint. Fine, Eddie, no problem. But then some guy boos him. Oh, my God, you would have thought the guy farted in his face. He's like, hey, this is about freedom of speech. Let me explain something to you, stupid. When you get to say something, so do other people. So when you open your mouth about the war, the guy gets to tell you to shut up. That's how it works. Not everybody thinks you're, you know, freaking Velveeta on a cracker, man. Not everybody thinks everything that drops out of your kisser is a pearl of wisdom. Some people think you're full of crap. Just sing. However, I'm a guy that will defend your right to do whatever it is you think you're doing until the day you die. And that guy who said shut up, he'd probably say the same thing. He just told you to shut up about that. Get lost. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And with that, we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.